subscribe by.
Blog Talk Radio.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. New York is the latest Democrat-led state to drop one of its mask mandates. The mask requirement inside businesses will end tomorrow, but Governor Kathy Hochul is keeping the school mask mandate for now. Earlier this week, the governors of Connecticut, Delaware, New Jersey, and Oregon said they would end mask mandates in schools by the end of February or March. Democrats are to blame for the rising violent crime rate in the U.S. That's at least according to Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who said the White House has been distracted by tax and spend schemes. Today on the Senate floor, the Kentucky Republican also slammed Dems who have pushed for defunding police departments. New COVID cases and hospitalizations remain on a downward trajectory, but the rate of deaths has not leveled off.
The seven-day average of daily deaths are at about 2,400 a day, which is an increase of about 3% over the prior week.
That's how CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky opened a news briefing. Top White House COVID advisor Jeff Zients praised the effectiveness of booster shots and urged all vaccinated Americans to get the additional shot. Vice President Harris will attend a global security conference in Munich, Germany later this month. The trip comes amid growing tensions over a possible Russian invasion of Ukraine. A White House statement says Harris's appearance will demonstrate America's ironclad commitment to NATO allies while underscoring a commitment to Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Experts are warning Texas is still at risk for another massive blackout despite surviving an Arctic blast that brought snow from the panhandle to the border. Energy consultant Allison Silverstein says there have been improvements, but there is a lot more to do.
Was last week's grid performance during the cold weather event proof that everything is fixed? The answer is absolutely no, because last week was a relatively mild event.
She says power plants were winterized and they survived last week's storm. However, the national gas system has not been updated to handle the freeze, and she says that was the single biggest problem during Winter Storm Uri, which was responsible for some 250 deaths statewide. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
When you order your Walgreens prescriptions with same-day delivery, it's possible you'll experience some side effects. Side effects may include joy, that you won't run out of your pills, and disbelief at just how crazy fast the delivery came right to your door. Get your same-day prescription refill today on the Walgreens app.
If you use same-day Rx delivery or 1-2 business day delivery, you must be opted into prescription status alerts. It will appear as an option of orders before that source cutoff time for the day. Certain health plans do not cover participating in same-day Rx delivery. Check with your health plan for further details. Excludes California.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you 24/7, with supplies and solutions for every industry, and access to product specialists ready to help. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's go ahead and take a look now for alternative talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, we'll see decreasing clouds later on today after the morning fog burns off. High temperatures around 51, 52 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies and that patchy fog rolls back in. Low temperatures dropping down to about 41, 42. For Thursday, fog to start the day out, moving to partly sunny skies by the afternoon. High temperatures a little warmer, around 52, 53. With mostly cloudy skies for Thursday night, lows down to about 40. For Friday and running up into the weekend, partly to mostly sunny skies. High temperatures in the low 50s and low temperatures in the mid-30s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I am so thrilled to have, one of our hosts joining me here today. Really important conversation, Laura Goldstein. I thought about this topic, and I was looking at it last night, and I was kind of getting ready, and I thought, what if I had known her when I was in the middle of this? What if I could have a conversation with Laura, like the one we're going to have today, which is all about understanding energetic root causes behind health issues, life struggles, and stagnant business revenue. I couldn't even say that. Oopsie on that. But this is what we're going to talk about today, because many people have been talking about an energy shift, a change. But what is it that we need to know? And if you're sitting there and you're thinking, what is this so important to us? Why is this so important? Then you'd understand that Laura began her own journey, quest from physical health. Same thing I went through, this dreaded brain fog, right? Anxiety and mystery. For a long time, when you experience this stuff, and then on top of that, you're in the middle of what the heck is my life about? What is it about? What's my purpose? What am I going to do? Why am I here? All of that. See, that's very different than the way Deepak Chopra says it, right? Because Deepak says, why are we here? What is our purpose? No, that is not the way I experience it, Deepak. And many people don't experience it that way. But in the end, those questions are really important. If you look at the history and the background of Laura, and that's what you're going to hear about today, and you look at how people that go through these kinds of struggles decide on a life path that is of service to others, to help others understand, to really shorten the curve, right, between here's where you are and here's where you can be, you have to have the experience that she's had. You know, whether you know her as an intuitive consulting business coach, whether you know her as, you know, Coffee with the Universe, whether you know her as that person that helps other people understand what is going on in here and gets to it by a whole range of talents. That's Laura Goldstein. That's why today's show, to me, is if we don't get this, if we do not get this, we will stay in the pit of suffering. Laura, it's great to have you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Okay, so, you know, you're walking along, and then all of a sudden, bam, mystery, my body's breaking down, bam. It's just like that, right? Of course it isn't, but it seems like that. You know, this topic and the work you do to help people understand this, What is it about this that's deeply embedded in your own journey and story?
Well, there are two facets. There was one from a professional level, and then there was one from the personal level. So the personal level, I was experiencing a lot of health issues, brain fog. I had ovarian cysts, and I had all these things going on, and conventional medicine is like, oh, here, just take these pills and it will be better. But I felt like crap. I knew that there were certain things that just didn't feel right, not only with my health, but with my career and my life's journey, my purpose. And I was trying to find a way to make the connections. You know, what is out of alignment? You know, what is the root cause of, you know, PCOS and what I was experiencing? And at the same time, I was working with teenagers in traditional psychotherapy who were having these audio and visual hallucinations. So a lot of people were scared of them because they're like, oh, it's schizophrenia. But I don't know, it just kind of intrigued me why they were, you know, manifesting their pain in this way. And if you know anything about teenagers, they come to therapy, they put their hoodie up, they sit with their arms crossed because, you know, mom and dad made them come and they're not talking, you know. So out of like a desperate attempt to figure out what was going on with these kids, I started bringing in my tarot and oracle cards, and I would bring crystals. And I was just dabbling in that at that time. It wasn't like my professional career, but I was like, what will get these kids to talk? So when I started laying out the cards and just saying what I was getting, like the energy of what was going on, even in that moment, they were like, oh, how did you know that?
Yeah.
Or they'd be like, well, that's not quite right, but it's this. And it got them to start talking. And what I realized is that by using these tools, I wasn't listening to their words or their parents' words about what was wrong. I was reading the internal energy that they were giving me. And I could get down to what was really going on with them a lot quicker than just like the old conventional method. So I'm like, wait a second, if this is working on these kids, this is going to work on me too. So then I was like, okay, I started dabbling in the Akashic records and you know, reading for myself and what is this, you know, pain that I'm having connected to. And then it was like the chakra system. What chakra is this manifesting in? And so it's kind of like, it was just like this enmeshment of these things that I was doing professionally and personally that it, things just started to click like, oh, this makes sense. Now I know why I have polycystic ovaries. That's a second chakra issue. And you know what? I don't ever want to have kids. And to me, there was something wrong with that. You know, second chakra, sexuality, femininity. You know, why am I broken in that way? You know, my first marriage didn't work out very well because he wanted kids and I didn't. What's wrong with me? I'm broken. I'm damaged. Huh. Now I have ovaries on my cyst, so I really can't have kids. And it was like, oh, it all made sense. And it gave me this foundation, this blueprint to follow to start that healing journey. How can I love myself anyway and be okay with not wanting kids? What did I need to do? So it was just like a totally enlightening experience for me.
I love that. I love that you shared that. And I love that, you know, the way you piece that together for everybody, because all of those are in the gifts now that you use with other people.
Correct.
In the way to move people off. But you know what I was really most struck by in that is you and I have this in common. You know, somehow I work with teens. Somehow we do that. And if anybody ever has that experience of doing, I do volunteer work. Anybody ever has experience of doing volunteer work? The minute that you get a reaction like the one you got, it's almost like that phrase out of that movie Avatar. Remember Avatar, where they're like looking at each other, I see you. Hello. Those three words, how many people don't get seen? And what you described is you saw them at a multidimensional level, right? Because in our training, what are we taught to do? Now, Laura, let me just tell you what I heard you say, right? That's how we're trained. Let me tell you what I heard you say, Laura. See, what I heard you say, no, it doesn't get to the soul. But what I love about this is it's not like a light bulb went on and you said, oh, now I know I'm doing energy work, right? There was an evolution in this, wasn't there?
There was. I didn't even realize what I was doing was energy work at first. It really didn't click until I started doing some formal training with like the Akashic records and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'm reading energy, and come to find out that is just something that comes naturally to me, which made sense, which is why I could read it so easily and understand it. But yeah, I had no idea that that's really what I was doing. I was just trying to get these teenagers to talk and to figure out like why the heck I felt so bad. And, you know, my ovaries were a train wreck.
And, you know, part of this, too, I'm nodding up and down, and I'm kind of smiling. I'm not smiling that your ovaries were a train wreck, but I love the absolute wisdom that the body has. And if more of us would learn to pay attention to it, because for me, I knew after X amount of years like you of studying, I knew at my core that what I thought I wanted to do and become as a very high paid consultant for one of the top consulting firms, going in as a change management expert, was such a phony baloney thing. That the money and the bank account would have said, take that job, travel the world, right? It's like a commercial. Get paid a lot of money and go feed people in an organization a whole lot of smarts that you learned theoretically that you know is not true. And then I started the show. And then I got sick. So isn't it interesting that a benefit of the body communicating is to get us on the track we're meant to be. What do you think of that?
I believe it's true, especially like with unexplained anxiety. For people that have, like, I feel anxious all the time and I don't know why, and, you know, I'm taking meds and they're not working, and it's like, to me, that's like ding, ding, ding. What in your life is not working for you that you keep ignoring, or maybe you really aren't connecting the dots, but your body is like your last resort. It is very dense. But when you aren't paying attention to maybe what's going on in your head, what your soul is calling you to do, your body's like, wake up, sucker, you know.
No,
listening. So here's some anxiety. Here's some unexplained pain. Here, take this. I mean, literally, that's what it does.
I so love this because we're going to take a short break when we come back. We're going to talk about the different ways information becomes stuck. I was so looking forward to this because people ask me, Pat, you know, what is the number one thing that your listeners want you to do more of? And when I went out and asked them, right, not just me, I asked them for all of you, what do they want to hear from all of you? But I was shocked at what they told me because I thought at the time, was anybody really listening? I want to tell you what that is when we come back, because those things we call into play, are they really there to protect us? That's what we're going to talk about. And what are the different levels they show up as? Brain fog. I couldn't do an interview with Deloitte. I would have been trying to go through the interview and like staring. You want to repeat that question for me again?
I've had like my head on the table at 2 p.m. like, I need to go to bed.
Oh my gosh, but I tried. I dressed up for it. I got ready to go. I even put on heels. Oh my God. When we come back, we're going to talk about the energy of things. What is it that becomes stuck? What becomes stagnant? And what happens if the energy right now is not going to allow that to happen? And then Laura's going to tell you about what she does, her show, and how she helps keep it with all of the things we talked about. Let's take a short break, Betty. We'll be right back, everybody. Laura Goldstein.
Your own divine magic and extend peace and love to all with Reiki Master and author Brett Pebble. Brett offers empowering solutions with energy healing modalities, magical awakening, and psychic Reiki. Brett's latest book, Healing Racism Within, A Lightworker's Guide, draws on his own journey of growing up in a racist community and healing childhood trauma. For more on the most cutting-edge energy healing techniques, visit BrettPebble.com.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Button. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenButton.com.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Ellie Effect with Allison's Life, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison's Life brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Life, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
Are you curious about who the Holy Spirit is or whether or not the Holy Spirit is real, and even more so, how to connect with an invisible God on a deeper level? Join me, Dr. Lisa Kohut, on Making the Holy Spirit Famous every second and fourth Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Central Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to begin that relationship, to begin to deepen your relationship with the Holy Spirit. To work with me, go to HolySpiritCoach.com. See you soon.
stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Understand energetic root causes behind health issues, life struggles, and stagnant business revenue with Laura Goldstein, a very special guest. Also, the host of her own show, which she's going to tell you about now, and the many ways you can connect with her and work with her directly. Laura, what is the best way for people to find you?
Right now, it's just to go to my website, which is lauragoldstein.com, my first and last name. Best way at the moment.
It's good.
It's always changing, so I'm like, huh.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I'll just finish up the question here. What people ask me to do, right, when I always ask them, what do you want more of, what do you want to see? Across the board with our audience, the people that have been with me the longest or that have heard me talk about it recently, they say crust busting. You have got to bring the crust busting show back. Because this was not the Dr. Pat show. This was crust busting your way to an awesome life. Benny and I would get on here and we'd talk about stuff. He would hit us with a jackhammer. I mean, I would pull cards. It was just so much of that because I was the queen of stuck. And the only way I could describe it to my friends was, I got to tell you, I'm so crusted over, I can't even get off the couch. And that's what we're talking about now, because there's an energy of being stuck. For me, I didn't know any of this 20 years ago. Come on. I mean, that was the best I could do, was crust busting. And using the crust of the earth as a metaphor, that was the best I could do. But I've learned a lot since. And one of the things that I would love for you to talk about is what you've learned in these energetic, you know, stuck spots, the energy that might keep us stuck, the energy that might keep us running in place. You ever do that? Yeah. You don't do that unless you're an athlete and, like, that's an exercise. But what are some of the things that you learned about what keeps us stuck? Linda's word, floundering.
You know, the number one reason why I find people get stuck and stagnant, and I actually like your crust busting, because everybody's like, oh, get rid of your blocks, you're stuck. You know, I feel like it's just kind of like vomited, where people are like, yeah, I have blocks. The number one reason that I found people get to that place of crustiness is through making choices that don't really align to who they are, that align more to a sense of obligation, wanting to meet somebody else's expectations so that they feel validated, to look a certain way, to be seen as a certain way. So really it's about what choices am I making here that isn't congruent to who I really am and who I really want to be. And sometimes it's just in the case of absorbing familial belief systems or values that are no longer congruent to you. And I kind of associate that with my whole train wreck ovary thing and this belief about kids, because I remember, you know, my parents were much older, so their generation is you get married and you have babies.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like 2 hours after I was married that people were like, oh, when are you going to have babies? And people would ask me that, and like I would cringe. And while my parents didn't really force it, they would ask about grandchildren. And there was just like this expectation. So there were these values that I was kind of expected to adhere to from family, but also from society. This is what women do. You know, women have babies. You know, fortunately, you know, we have careers too. We have more choice than ever now. But that was kind of like back then. I mean, I'm, you know, 1 year shy of 50 years old. So it's like back then, that was the societal expectation. So a lot of times we get stuck because we take on and hold on to these beliefs and values and what we should be doing, and it doesn't even really feel right for us.
Yeah, it really feels off, and there's a consequence when things are off, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about today. The body's reaction to what we have going on inside is one way to do it.
Right, and it manifests as like that anxiety, that tension.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was like always in my gut, and I was like, if I don't figure this out, like I swear I was going to end up with like stomach cancer or something, because I'm like, my gut is constantly like churning and speaking. I'm like, what are you saying? What does this mean? I have to figure it out. And that's what happens is we hold that stress and tension and anxiety in our body, and then pretty soon it's there long enough that it starts to manifest as disease.
You know, talk a minute about, because you and I deal with the world of emotions a lot, especially when we're working with people. And, you know, we get to see a lot of this through the eyes of other people. And if the light bulb goes on, we start to reflect on ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we start to become our own client, in a sense. And this emotional level of stagnation and the tension that you just talked about, sometimes it's quickly, sometimes it's slowly to morph, as we say, into illness. Sometimes it seems overnight. In my case, it seemed 31st of 2004, I was healthy as an ox. By the end of April 1st of 2004, I could hardly walk. But I know that it didn't happen overnight, but I know that now.
Mm-hmm.
What have we discovered about the emotional stagnation of things? Because that's a level we have not talked about a lot in the history. First of all, in the history of coaching, in the history of psychology, right? What does that look like?
Well, emotions essentially are energies. Everything is energy. I mean, we are the table, and the small molecules and particles, and it's all energy. And same goes with emotions. But as divine beings and human beings, we're meant to experience emotions. It's going to happen. We can't just like never experience that. It's not going to work. But what we have learned to do as human beings is we feel something, and instead of allowing that energy to flow through the body and allow it to just work its course, we're like, oh, I can't feel that way. That's bad. And we like suppress it and we stuff it. And we have this internal trash can that is technically supposed to be empty, but we are stuffing it with these emotions that make us uncomfortable. And pretty soon it's like we are so clogged and congested with everything that we're stuffing and suppressing. And oh, if it comes up, and oh, let me shove it back down, that it creates blockages like in our chakra system, or if you want to look at it like from Chinese medicine perspective, our meridians, our chi, whatever you want to call it, it's just, you know, that hoarding of feelings rather than allowing yourself to express and letting them go. I don't know how to explain it any differently.
I totally get it. You know, I was so excited. I moved into a new place right in the middle of last year, of course. It was out of necessity. I got two new knees replaced and had to move. And the anxiety of that came from the fact that I did not trust the universe to provide. That I found myself in the middle of the only way you can find anything is online. And if you have nothing better to do during your day with a little app in front of you, right, that like, bing, go see the place. So bing, if that's your life, then you get there. I never could get to anywhere on time. I couldn't get there. But what I realized is I had lost trust. I had lost trust at the fact that this was being orchestrated for a reason that I didn't even know about. And talk about the relationship between anxiety and trusting. And what I mean by that is there are some things we control, Laura, and there are some things we don't. And we sometimes will put 80% of our energy in the things we cannot control.
We're not creating anxiety.
I'm not anxious at thinking about it. Now, when I shifted from absolute panic, because I had a deadline, middle of double knee surgery, knee replacement, by the way, middle of that, what happened, you cannot explain to people. People call it coincidence. People call it whatever it is. But I wonder if I would have been open, if I would have been so pent up and tight and afraid and scared. And I'm telling you, I was ready to get like a truck and pack everything up and move back to New Jersey because it wasn't turning out. And the anxiety of that, and I don't think I was alone. But you know what? I'll tell you what. I have a few tools. And thank God I got a few tools because you have coffee with the universe. And I had to have a couple cups of coffee with the universe. Honestly, when I did that, one of our hosts, Susan, she's like, "Do you still looking for an apartment? I heard you like say you're looking for a home or you're looking for something. I don't know, you mentioned it on air or something." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Okay, let me think about that." A week later, the people living here called her. They broke up. I moved. I doubled my square footage. I have a beautiful backyard. I have a place that could have accommodated working myself and staff members out of it if we needed to. To talk about what happens when we release that pent-up emotion, that sense of anxiety. What was that like for you in your life when you let go of it?
It was scary because I am a control freak by nature. I think I was born a control freak. with my color-coded pens and my sticky notes. it's hard to let go. It's taken a lot of work, and I still find myself having to remind myself that I cannot control the situation and let go. But when you try to control, I equate it to swimming against the current. It's really hard. You don't get very far. You're exhausted and depleted. But if you can let go and be okay with reality, because you know what, reality is going to happen. The world is going to keep on doing its thing no matter whether you're here or not. If you can let go and be okay with reality and just open the door, it's like swimming with the current. Mm-hmm. And that's when you find, some ease and flow, when you can find answers, because, too, we do hold the answers within. If we're struggling with something, we know that. But if we're so busy trying to manipulate things, well, how can I do this? And how can I make sure that she still loves me or he still loves me? And, I want that promotion, but that, my colleague, and how can I maybe, outshine that person? Well, we're so busy doing that, we're not really hearing ourselves. And it's almost like we have to let that go and just trust that things will work out as they're meant to work out. Even if we're experiencing hardship, sometimes we do have to experience some hardship to, get to the other side or to learn something. So there's even value in that. But if we can just say, okay, I'm going to trust that this is going to work out the way it needs to, and be open instead of closing ourselves off, that's when opportunities, come our way. Because, yeah. We're open to them. They can't come to us. You can't have visitors if you keep your door shut and locked, So we just need to open ourselves up and just say, hey, all right, I'm ready to receive whatever it is that, is next for me or whatever.
I have to tell you, the visual I got when you were talking, okay, I got to tell on myself. I was coming to the end of a 14-year relation. Here's the visual I got. My partner, my ex-partner, very soft-spoken. Now, imagine a soft-spoken person or any person trying to speak to me, and I've got my headphones on, blasting Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. Now, that I did on purpose, but so much in our lives, right, we do it, and we really do want to hear what's being said. We have to know when to take it out. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with Laura Goldstein, but here's the thing. Where does all this go? What is understanding this going to help us to get to our end game? What is it that helps us? And especially if you're an entrepreneur and you're listening to this and you're thinking to yourself, I don't know that that has anything to do with my business. We're going to ask you to think again.
Yes,
it has everything to do with your business. Every minute of doubt, questioning, fear, all of it. And when we come back, that's what Laura's going to take us through, how this affects everything, even when you've got your work face on and you think it's not, and you go into your business, and then you have a meltdown. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Ignite your best life full of joy, passion, and purpose? Then join me, Stephanie James, for The Spark, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock Pacific Time, 9 o'clock Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and learn how together we can illuminate the world. Learn more on StephanieJames.world. The best is yet to come.
Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein, host of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup of joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey, everybody, it's me, psychic medium Jamie, and me, spirit walker Nicole. We are so excited to introduce you to our new live call-in show called Shades of Spirit on TransformationTalkRadio.com. As we connect you with your crossover loved ones, angels, and guides, and also help you develop your own psychic and healing abilities. For more information and to book your own private experience, go to ShadesOfSpirit.com and also follow us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Boy, does this feel like good times today. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love it. This is a show that's going to invite all of you to open up your hearts because it's about dreams coming true. There's a road we get to take as we craft out and we lay a course that's in service of so many others. Sometimes the universe, God, whatever you believe in, have you ever wondered why, but better than why, or how the universe knows how to line things up in a way that gets you ready for the most expansive part of who you're going to become? This is the time to change. And gratitude, leading with love, opens up more expansive possibilities than you can imagine. Trust, busting your way to an awesome life. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Laura Goldstein is in the house. Laura, how do people find out about you, about the show, about everything? And then we're going to really take this on. We're going to take on the conversation that says, hello, like if this is going on with you, it's really affecting everything in your life. Like if you're an entrepreneur right now, you're going to want to listen. But how do people find out about you?
Head on over to my website is the best place, LauraGoldstein.com.
This is important for a lot of reasons. One, people have really questioned their life's path, their sanity, when it comes to their businesses as entrepreneurs and when it comes to their jobs as career people. You know, millions of people did not go back to their jobs, did not. And why? What happened? What cracked everybody open? And for somebody like me, I got cracked open in a different way. But the energy that's all in there, the doubt, the fear, the hesitation, the questioning, the influence of our external environment, and the baggage that we take with us. So help us get through all of that.
Your business. So I have a really hard time marketing myself because I am a reader of energy. And it doesn't matter whether it's like for health reasons. It doesn't matter if it's like sole purpose. It doesn't matter if it's your business. It's still energy. So this creates a bit of a marketing conundrum. But our work in the world is an extension of who we are. And there are people who can go to a job day in and day out, and it's just for them to make money. And they're just like, oh, yeah, it's just my job. But I found for highly conscious people and creatives, our work is very important to us. It's an extension of ourselves. And specifically for those of us that are entrepreneurial, where we have our own business, our business is a creation of who we are in our energy. So when I work with entrepreneurs, what tends to happen is, just like we make, you know, we were talking about misaligned choices being like the number one reason why we get crusted over and stuck and stagnant. The same thing happens with our business because we start using tools and systems that the experts say we should use, or, oh, we need to have this kind of marketing funnel, or, oh, here's your, you know, your template to write all of your blogs and just follow this. And we start taking on what other people say works because it works for them, but, you know, we're different people, different energies. And a lot of times entrepreneurs will find their income like has plateaued. They're like, oh, but I just implemented this new sales strategy and da-da-da, and I'm still at this income level. Or sometimes the revenue drops. Mm-hmm. It's like something's going wonky, and it's usually because, again, reading the energy, what is it that they're doing in their business that isn't congruent to who they are and that needs adjustment? And, you know, when we work for somebody, it's a little bit different. It tends to manifest more at the personal level because we don't have control of the business. But, you know, especially for entrepreneurs, understanding the energy as to what's going on saves a buttload of time and money when you're trying to troubleshoot like revenue lows. You know, it gets underneath everything. And instead of just like, oh, it must be my marketing, I'm going to go and hire a marketing expert or a coach, it's like, well, we don't even know if that's really the problem. So understanding the energetic anatomy of the business, it makes a huge difference in terms of how you can proceed to remedy what's not working.
You know, and this is really the key, because if we could nail that early, you know, if we can get a sign of it early, and this is, I think, what happens a lot of times. Tell me if you've worked with people like this or experience it. You know, you run into what I call a hiccup, because I get way more signs that I am directly on the path I need to be at, especially this year, than I get hiccups that I'm not. But we get a hiccup, and it's as if we forget everything else that's pointing us into our life's path, and we get this one thing, and we ruminate over it. And it's a one thing. And it turns out to go from a flea to a giant Tyrannosaurus Rex creature. And we don't even know what the issue was originally. And if that happens to you as an entrepreneur, call Laura Goldstein. Because you have to get insight so that you can get it early, right? Aren't we all human? Don't we all go through doubts? But I love what you said. You know, experts want to tell you what's best for you. And half of them, when you interview them, they don't even know you.
Right.
They don't know you.
Right.
You know, I got a bunch of people probably cringing that this dog was in the first part of the show on the chair right now.
I wasn't cringing. He's kind of cute.
He's very cute. But this, true story, when I've gotten into a tough year, I would talk to it. And when you talk to it, it rolls over, it moves, and it laughs. But here's what I found fascinating to me. If I asked a question that was a no, it wouldn't move. Huh. I can't explain this. It has to, I didn't touch it. But if I asked something that was dead, so I wanted to do like short vignettes of this. I'm not kidding. It's so much my personality. It really is. Mm-hmm. It is so part of me at my core. Of course, I'm all these other things. But I have a childlike spirit. I talked to a cat for 4 years finishing my dissertation, and I got some of the best advice on the planet. So let's have you talk for a minute about, no, I'm not kidding. I had this little cat that wasn't even my cat, but she would come in every day and hang out with me while I was finishing this up. And she would prop herself. I had a corner cabinet with, you know, back in the day, corner cabinet with the computer, right? Big window. Felicia would jump right up there, and I'd be talking to her. And I'd say, should we use the variable? Should we use trust as a moderator or a mediator in this variable? What should we do? The cat would go from a sleeping position to poke its head up and its eyes wide open. I'd say that's a yes. So it doesn't matter.
They read your energy.
Exactly. That's my point exactly.
And they're more intuitive because they don't have the ego to get in the way. So they catch on really quick. It's just us, you know, darn humans with the ego that where things go all haywire. But
you have to connect. Talk to us about connecting, clearing karmic patterns, really putting this all together, because so often we will leave out a part of our life. We'll say, I'm doing it over here, but my business, I don't need to pay attention to it. Or, more importantly, this has been my problem, I'm doing it over here for my business, but my personal life cuts on air. But that was the kind of show that you just didn't want to see. How do you pull it all together to help people? Tell us about that.
Well, the foundation of my readings is first to figure out what's not working and why. We don't often make connections. Like, we often don't associate a health issue with a relationship issue or a business issue with a partnership issue. I mean, I see this a lot. We get into, you know, partnerships with other coaches, with advisors, with other people. And while they're very lovely people, they're not an energetic match. And because they're so nice and they're great at what they do, people don't make the connection. So the first thing is understanding what isn't working and what is connected. And then the second thing is to figure out, hey, is this something that I've created here in my present life? Because if it is, I can certainly make adjustments because I'm here in this life and I have the ability to fix it. But then we also have baggage that we drag with us from previous lifetimes. It's usually unresolved issues. And that it's like we're still trying to work it out. And I feel like the universe has a good sense of humor because our karmic patterns are like, okay, you made this mistake, didn't figure it out in this lifetime. Oh, still haven't figured it out. Okay, let's put you back. Let's see if you can get it now in round two. And they're like, no, still didn't get it. Okay, let's give you another and see if you can work it out. So a lot of my work too is figuring out, okay, what is in this life that I can make, you know, amends to today, and what am I just dragging that I just need to kind of release and clear that energy to be aware of it and say, oh, this makes sense because I'm still doing it today. Okay, great. I now have the ability to make different choices and to actually make changes in my life. So it's really an uncovering, a digging up process And looking at what's happening, where it's happening. Is it in my chakra system? Is it just like a chakra imbalance? Is it through choice? Is it this belief pattern that I'm buying into that no longer works for me? Is it a relationship I'm into? Is it a marketing system that I thought was awesome sauce? And do we even use that in awesome sauce?
Yeah, that's like that's a TV thing too. That's good.
So, you know, maybe I bought into this and that's not working for me. Or maybe I'm scheduling my day in a way that I thought I should be scheduling my day, but it's constraining me. Once we understand what's not working, we can fix it. You know, we can do what needs to be done.
Yeah. I mean, I love that we started to talk earlier when we started to talk about this. You know, we started to talk about the relationship between what's on the inside and what's on the outside. I mean, that is one of the greatest takeaways that I've discovered, you know, in my healing journey. And if people could just be willing to explore that. I'm not even saying you have to do it. I'm saying, are you willing to explore it? Are you willing to step back for a minute and just see, are you really a procrastinator by nature? Is that just who you are? Are you really someone that waits to the last minute? Now, I must tell you, I read a book that was put out that explains that people that have had experience like I have, we wait to the last minute for things because we wait for all possibilities.
Well, and it might be how you work most of the time.
It might be how I work. But
yeah.
If I'm not looking at something because I'm afraid, not looking at it hasn't gotten rid of the anxiety, has it?
No, or you're not looking at it because you think you should be different, you know, because, oh, you know, procrastination is bad. You know, people tell me that I'm not supposed to do that. But when I read people at soul level, we have like a manifesting blueprint, how we create. And there are people who were born to like put out fires and be super reactive and so last minute. And then there's people like myself that are instigators that take a heck of a lot of time to process. I'd be a horrible like emergency response person because someone would be bleeding to death and I'd be like, wait, I need to process what's going on. Let me think about this, you know, but you need somebody that's, you know, quick, like that quick thinking. So we're all created differently and we need to do things based on how it feels for us and what works for us.
That's so funny that you brought that up because my best friend, and you know who she is. Thank goodness she is who she is, right? Triple Virgo, spreadsheets, doesn't miss much, can juggle a bunch of things, but the level of detail, I don't get it. Right? I mean, it's just brilliant. And it's really interesting because I put in some bulbs, like flower bulbs
mm-hmm.
in the garden. I just had them in these little things, these pouches. And I'm like, that one is, I didn't look and say, these are this kind, that is this kind, this is this kind, this kind should go there. No, I'm just like, oh, I'm going to be surprised when they pop. That's my nature. There are people that would just absolutely want to dig them up.
Yes. And reorganize them.
And I love it when we can let people be who they are.
Yes.
But the thing I love about my best friend is she can tell when I'm going to that dark place. Right? She could tell. I don't have to say anything. She just looks in my eyes and she'll say something like, what the bleep are you thinking now? But I didn't have that 20 years ago. I'm grateful for the way that I had to learn it because it got me here today. I'm a different person. What would you say to the people listening to the show to really give them insight as to the fact that there is a way to thrive? There is a way to live in the world of possibilities. And we may have to step in a few potholes or plant a few bulbs that are probably not going to look the best that somebody else would like. I know you're working with people today, and you really work from a multidimensional energy point of view. Give us your insight here in the few minutes we have left.
Well, to answer your direct question about like that possibility, I'm going to regurgitate Michael Singer, who wrote The Untethered Soul. I listen to a lot of him because, I mean, he's truly amazing, although his advice is like, don't do it. He's like that Bob Newhart therapy video where the lady's like, oh, I'm coming in for therapy, and I keep doing this. And he's like, oh, I can cure you in 5 minutes. He's like, stop it. Stop it. Just stop it. Oh, but I can. Yes, you can. Stop it. I feel like he's kind of that way in the spiritual world. He's like, stop closing yourself. Just be open. But what I love about what he says is that allow experiences to happen. We start labeling, oh, this is good. This is bad. This shouldn't happen. This doesn't, you know, this makes me look a certain way. And when we label our experiences, we don't grow and learn and open from them like, you know, we were meant to. So even when things aren't going well, so when I'm struggling, I really try hard to say, you know what, this is a success. Even though this is like successfully struggling in order to find the deeper meaning behind this, to fix what's not working, to learn something, to grow. You know, so I really do my best to detach from, you know, good and bad, like, don't like. And I think that when we can do that and say, okay, what's underneath, what's not working, what are the energies there, okay, great, and kind of have that neutral attitude. This is what I've learned, not helpful here, so let me now, you know, make different choices. So, I mean, I don't know if that makes sense, but that's like the best way that I can relate.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And you know why I love it? Because it's so hard sometimes. And I know you do such a beautiful job in your storytelling, because it's one thing to be a professor and teach somebody a concept. It's another thing to then demonstrate a story that relates to that concept. And that's what we did today. And that's what you do. I mean, not only do you do it in your show, but in the work you do with people, because the multidimensional approach you use, they're all pieces to a story, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Pieces to a puzzle.
Pieces. See, that would be something a Virgo would say. I'm going to be saying there's something to like a Disney story. Either way, they get you the picture, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I love it. Laura, again, thank you for today. I'd love to know your personal message, what you'd like to leave us with, and please give everybody your website again.
My website is lauragoldstein.com, first and last name, easy peasy. You can find links there to services, what I do, and Coffee with the Universe, my radio show, based on my own morning practice and conversations with the universe over a good old cup of joe.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning us in and turning us on. Thank you, Laura Goldstein.
Thank you so much.
All right, everybody. A lot to unpack in the show today, but take it from somebody that understands the journey, the possibilities, and the result that you want. We'll see you in a few minutes. We'll be right back.
On this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Wednesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your alternative talk AM 1150 traffic update for around this hour. The morning traffic has smoothed out quite nicely since this morning's rush. We still have a little bit of slowing on 405 northbound through Newcastle and that construction zone. We'll break through the top there around Southeast 64th Street as you're running up into 990. Smooth into Bellevue. Stay tuned coming up next. After the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's the pushy broad from the Bronx, Ellen Stewart, and Recovery Recharged Radio.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. The rate of COVID deaths is not leveling off, even as new cases and hospitalizations are going down. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky said the latest weekly average of COVID deaths is up about 3% over the previous week. President Biden's chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, said boosters are keeping vaccinated people out of the hospitals and saving lives. New York is the latest Democrat-led state to drop one of its mask mandates. Governor Kathy Hochul says she will not extend the mandate expiring tomorrow that requires a mask inside businesses that don't have a coronavirus vaccine mandate in place. Hochul says coronavirus numbers on a steep decline is the reason she can lift the mask mandate.
The New Yorkers, this is what we've waiting for. Tremendous progress after two long years.
She's allowing local governments to put in their own mask mandates. Meanwhile, she says she's keeping the school mask mandate in place. She wants to reexamine it the first week of March after students return from winter break. Earlier this week, the governors of Connecticut, Delaware, New Jersey, and Oregon said they would end mask mandates in schools by the end of February or March. Hollywood, Florida police are admitting an officer that shot a naked, handcuffed man in distress meant to grab his taser. The department statement said Michael Ortiz resisted being placed in the elevator back in July, and that's when the officer intended to deploy his taser. He fired his gun instead. The statement goes on to say that officer's been taken off street duty while an investigation is completed. Hollywood police are assisting the Florida Department of Law Enforcement's independent investigation. Department officials hope to meet with Ortiz and his family once it's complete. Ortiz has hired civil rights attorney Ben Crump, who's filing a public records lawsuit against the Hollywood Police Department. A man described as a Hollywood special effects wizard has died after battling cancer. Douglas Trumbull's work included Close Encounters of the Third Kind, 2001 A Space Odyssey, Star Trek The Motion Picture, and Blade Runner. Trumbull was 79 years old. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
This is Nathan Mum and Mike Rodet from Tech Time with Nathan Mum.
Hey, Mike, it's been a couple weeks now, and we're on Kixie and on KKNW. What do you think about this great relationship?
I think it's fantastic.
It is. You know what? I can't believe the excitement that we've gathered with our Tech Time radio show. We're so excited to be broadcasting it out all over everywhere. And, of course, you can still always listen to it on KKNW 1150 Saturdays from 4 to 6 p.m. and on Thursdays from 6 to 7 a.m. Don't miss out on the best technology news without having to geek out.
I think it's fantastic.
Well, let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, we'll see decreasing clouds later on today after the morning fog burns off. High temperatures around 51, 52 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies and that patchy fog rolls back in. Low temperatures dropping down to about 41, 42. For Thursday, fog to start the day out. Moving to partly sunny skies by the afternoon. High temperatures a little warmer, around 52, 53. With mostly cloudy skies for Thursday night, lows down to about 40. For Friday and running up into the weekend, partly to mostly sunny skies. High temperatures in the low 50s and low temperatures in the mid-30s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, pushy broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website pushybroadfromthebronx.com and click on the link that says recovery recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, pushy broad from the Bronx on transformationtalkradio.com. Well,
Welcome, Transformation Talk Radio listeners. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the pushy broad from the Bronx. Welcome to my show, Recovery Recharged, with my illustrious co-host, Dr. Pat. How you doing, Doc?
I'm fired up today for this show, boy. And I'm so glad that you're bringing on the guests that you brought on. And tell everybody about the show, because I truly do believe that this is a gap. This is a gap, and without getting into detail, it's not only a gap, but if you're in one of the programs, not saying, but if you happen to be in that program as a sponsor, you're not allowed, so to speak, to provide coaching or consulting in an arena like this. And then what is the consequence of that? Now, I'm not saying that program's wrong for that. What I'm saying is there's a gap between this and not using and not drinking and how to have a great life. It's like a giant gap. It's like, how do we get from over here to make those dang promises come true if we're not getting help? Okay, that's enough for me.
It's only the beginning. We're already in a heightened state today. So you can see how this is going to go. But I'm telling you right now, whether or not you are in the midst of this, it is everywhere. The topic is everywhere. So if you need the help, you're going to get some special help today, or you're going to get some special help for a loved one. So if you want to go get something to write with, I suggest you do that, because we are talking about the exciting job market that's emerging in 2022.
And who's our guest? Who's our fantastic guest?
Oh, here we go.
We're like talking to her. We haven't told anybody like who she is.
Oh, boy. I have career coach Melanie Wexler with us today, and I know Melanie really well. She was on my show before when I did Women Who Push for More. She was there. She was with us a little more than a year ago, and she's got so much more to tell us. Let me just tell you a little something about Melanie and why I bring her back. She has 18 years recruiting and staffing experience. And she started working as a career coach back in 2017, and she really takes a very big interest in working with her clients to make sure that they have good resumes, and she teaches them how to job search and to interview, and she really helps them utilize social media to find the right career. And she's also here to talk to us about something that is really historic, and that's called the Great Resignation and what that is all about, okay? So we're going to find out what makes a successful career in 2022, and we're going to find out what the opportunities are that are ripe for the picking. So, Transformation Talk Radio listeners, welcome career coach Melanie Wexler. How are you, Melanie?
I'm good, thank you. I'm excited about today. It's already fun, and I haven't even said anything.
Well, I'm excited about what you're going to bring to this, because I have mentioned this, Scott mentioned it throughout my shows for about a month now. And you are the perfect person to talk about this and help us. I've even shared stories about the 40 people that walked away from a Detroit hotel, but no one has put it together in comprehensive terms and understanding at the multidimensional level like you have. That's Ellen. Brilliant, Ellen. So she brought from the Bronx to bring this on.
I aim to please. So why don't you talk a little bit about that, Melanie, and why don't you talk a little bit about the Great Resignation. The floor is yours, honey. Tell us what we need to know.
Yeah, so, you know, Ellen, you said it best. We haven't seen this type of market in, I would say, close to 20 years. You know, I started 21 years ago in recruiting. It was the best of all, you know, it's the best market we ever saw. People were literally throwing money at candidates just to stay at positions. People were, you know, you couldn't find any candidates. You were literally, I remember days of people walking in the door and I'm like, you ready to go to work tomorrow? I have a job for you. And they'd be like, no, hold off. I'm not going to do that. Like, you know, they were scared. They were like, what? No, slow it down there. That was also a great tech boom. We had a great real estate market at that point, too. So we haven't seen this market for over 20 years, and now it is an employee's market. The pandemic really brought to light a lot of issues. Of course, we saw everything that was happening from a racial perspective that brought a lot of you know, conversations to the table that was translating into what was happening in the workplace. Was there diversity? Was there inclusion? Was there equity in the workplace? The answer was no. There were, you know, we saw gaps within that. We also saw people wake up and realize nothing is really permanent in this world. You know, yeah, you have, quote unquote, a permanent job, but is it really permanent? We saw, you know, industries decimated overnight. The hospitality industry just literally, you know, all of a sudden you had, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of people out of work and really didn't know, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? But it also gave people a lot of reflection as well of, like, what is important to me? You know, you had a lot of people, you know, passing and dying. And then also you had people that found themselves in, you know, social, you know, exclusion. They were all by themselves and they didn't have a community. So you had all these factors coming in that we didn't have 20 years ago. You know, 20 years ago, it was just the economic boom that was happening at that particular time. So now we have all of these other issues that I truly believe corporate America wasn't prepared to answer, because they've never been forced to answer them. They've never been forced to talk about, you know, work-life balance was on you as the employee. It wasn't ever on the company. I mean, there are companies out there that value it and, you know, help promote it. But often a lot of these things were just token words. They didn't have any meaning behind them. You know, they said, oh, yeah, we believe in work-life balance, but, oh, that worker is working 60 hours. You know, so it's like, where's the give and the take? So I think, you know, that's really what's happened and why we see this market where we see people, you know, all of a sudden leaving jobs and going, no, this is what I want out of my career. And money is not going to be the answer. Money is not going to be the answer. And that's a key to remember this time around.
Yeah. I love this. I do these short little interviews, not on the Dr. Pat Show. We call them our good news segments. And I remember not too long ago, last year, Sodesto was part of the interview. They're recruiting people and all that business. And they came on to share their survey. And they were a little surprised. And they go on to ask the question, let me tell you, when we ask these people that are graduating, right, that are in the job market, what is the number one thing and number two thing they want, right? And they had all of their crazy typical money, pension, blah, 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 blah. Number one, I am not going to work for a company that's not compassion. Number two, empathy. Honestly,
yep.
Like, I don't care if people have to stop Bad Mountain, the 20 people in their 20s and 30s, we have to stop it because we need to listen. What is your take on that answer?
Absolutely. I had a client session this morning before coming on live with you guys, and literally one of the reasons she's looking is, you know, she got in trouble with her manager because she's too empathetic, his own words. You're too empathetic. You're a salesperson. She has an employee that lives in Louisville, Kentucky, where the Breonna Taylor case was happening. Yeah. She had friends that had been, unfortunately, you know, killed in some of the situations that were happening there. Her father's a cop. Guess what was happening? Her employee wasn't performing. No wonder. I mean, like, who is going to perform well under these circumstances in these times when you feel this pressure? The problem was her manager didn't understand, had never bothered to ask, like, what's happening? Why are you not performing? What's happening behind the scenes? How can I help you? You know, and this is actually one of the reasons why now my client is looking to leave this company, because they are not willing to change their mindset. And that's where we see this disconnect right now. You still see companies holding firm on this belief. You know, Sodexo or whoever that whatever that company is, still believing. Amazon just came out with this report that they're going to be increasing, I forget the exact number, like three times the average salary or whatever the number is. Again, we can throw money at it, but are we fixing is corporate America stepping up to fix the problems that are happening behind the scenes?
And you're right. And that answer is maybe not yet. But I just want to throw some really big stats in here because it's really important for us to understand exactly what's happening, okay?
Yep.
So there have been some great myths about what we call the Great Resignation of 2021 and many articles about it. So let me just give you some stats that are going to blow you away because they blew me away, okay? More Americans left their job in April of 2021 than in any other month on record. Okay? This is according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and they've done an analysis of what they call quits, okay, or the big quit. That's another name for the Great Resignation. Even more people quit in July of 2021, and now a new record again was broken in August, and then again in September. So everybody thinks that because of COVID, okay, and because unemployment was so rampant, here's the big myth, that the Great Resignation is only about quitting, and everybody's quitting so that they can stay on unemployment. That is the big myth in this country. Could you please debunk that for us? Because people think that's why people aren't going back to work. So let's talk about that.
So people are not quitting and not going back to work to stay on unemployment. That is an absolute falsehood. There's no truth to it. People are quitting. Nobody truly wants to stay on unemployment. I mean, the majority of people, I don't have a percentage, but I would, I'm going to just say the majority of people aren't going to fall into that category. What has happened is COVID, the pandemic, was a catalyst, was a wake-up call for what was happening. People aren't staying at home so that they can, all these thoughts that, I'm making more on unemployment, that's absolutely not, that is not the case, not from a long-term perspective by any stretch of the means. That was a stopgap. What's happening now, when it came time to come back to work, these employees were asking, well, what has changed within the organization? Are you going to be able to honor, if I continue to be a good work from home employee and was able to be productive and was able to still produce everything you expected, and I now have some semblance of a work-life balance, or I have, these other benefits and I've proven myself, why am I having to go back into the office? So now these are questions, and the reality was, again, corporate America wasn't prepared. I always say corporate America hiring managers tend to be about 3 to 4 months behind the curve. They have always, and this goes the greatest markets and the worst markets, and I've worked in both. I've gone through two recessions. I've gone through the best of best market ever as a recruiter. It's how I got started. Even in recessions, hiring managers would be like, well, there's hundreds of people. Just go find, why can't you find me that one person? And the reality was, okay, it's not just like I'm picking people out of a pot and like, oh, magic, okay, here it is. You have requirements. These people are just, all over the place. It's a matter of breaking down some of these statistics of who the qualified people are and, what type of industry and all these other factors. So that's where we're at right now, is that they've really, the American employee in particular has really pushed them to say, no, we want to be heard. We want our, we want to be heard. We want our, we want our recognition of what we're doing, but also we need to have some importance of family, and we need to have some importance of work-life balance and safety and health measures. And so the COVID was a catalyst for this. It forced us to stop as a country and slow down and take assessment of our life. And guess what? People woke up and said, wait a minute, am I happy? I have the best, I was concerned 2 years ago when COVID hit about my business because I was like, oh, my gosh, people losing their jobs. Paying for a coach is like the last thing, extra money. People aren't going to want to throw that around. What I found was the opposite. People said, no, I want to be prepared. I need to be prepared because my company, Peloton, just did this. They just made announcements. They're laying off a ton of people. And, I need to be prepared for what could happen, but I also want to find something that speaks to my heart and speaks to my passions and aligns with my values.
Doc, did you find transitions at Transformation Talk Radio based on the Great Resignation and your employees? How did that feel?
I didn't. I found people that leave and resign because we didn't make good hiring decisions to begin with, and we have very high standards for things. And so, you know, this is what I found interesting. They were very grateful to get positions. People are very grateful to get positions, and they'll tell you that unless the position is one like ours where they don't have experience in this arena, and so they have an illusion of what it's like to be a producer here. And so there is a disconnect between job reality and job illusion, and that's just not with me. But I will tell you this. When my state went to a minimum wage and they said it'll take you 5 years to get there, I did it immediately. I didn't even hesitate because, yeah, you can wait 5 years to roll in $15 an hour, but I started in the mailroom, and so for me, it was a different issue. It was, we just need to do it. We don't need to have a four-year projection that we're going to do it. We just need to do it because we need quality people, even at an entry level. But part of this, too, is making the right hiring decision to answer your question. And that's been a journey for me, because I hire from my heart sometimes, and Jessica and Linda will tell you, you need to start with your heart, but you need to do some assessment, Pat. And that's been my lesson during COVID.
Listen, I understand, okay? I also do part of what Melanie does, you know, in the Northeast, and I completely understand. First of all, let me give you some other statistics, because I've been hit all the time with them. I have so many friends that say to me, everybody's quitting and everybody's staying on unemployment and the whole, and everybody has become lazy because COVID has made us lazy, and I also think that's a bunch of baloney and everything else, because that is not true. And Melanie, you're absolutely right. People don't want to stay on unemployment. That's also a myth. Why do people want to stay on unemployment? It's not as much as your regular salary. You don't want to feel like you're just collecting. That's just ridiculous and stupid. But it is true that part of the Great Resignation came from the industries, like you said, hospitality and travel, where things weren't happening. So what are you going to do? I mean, you can't stay in a situation where you know at any moment, you know, it's not going to be there anymore. You're not going to be able to go back to the thing you loved. I spent a lot of time in the travel industry. The best part of it was being able to travel. That's why I was there. So I could see the world in the style to which Robin Leach, you know, Europe on $1,000 a day was accustomed. And I know Dr. Pat understands that reference. Melanie's like, who's she talking about?
Yeah.
You know, but also, too, it gave seniors the opportunity to start a new life, too, because they were at a point, everybody's working later, okay, because, you know, Dr. Pat and I are only 39 years old. We're going to be working for another 30 years at least, you know, but there are people out there that are 65 and older than that that decided, you know what, now's the perfect time to pack it in. Rightfully so. Let me start another period of life, right? But if the great recession, the great resignation is not just about quitting, then what's it about and how do you navigate through it, Melanie? Tell us about that.
So I really think it's about, for the best term is assessment. It's a great assessment of where you are in your life and what do you want. You hit on the, you know, retirees. We're at a weird crossroads right now where we have the majority of our workforce is approaching that age of retirement, and a lot of people are wanting to cut back on that. So that's also contributing to these large numbers that we're seeing in terms of not being able to hire, because we haven't made up for that in the workforce. We didn't prepare for that. And so we have that. And I think in terms of really assessing, every place I start with my clients before, you know, people think of job searching as I'm just going to go apply for jobs. I'm going to hit submit. And I tell people, we have to take a step back. And we really have to say, what do you want? And give yourself permission. And I get it. I've been there. I've been a single mom on, welfare before with my oldest. I was 21 when I had him. You know, I, you know, struggled paycheck to paycheck. So I totally get, you know, sometimes having, quote unquote, pursue your passion or that dream job, you know, and you're saying, sitting here listening to me and going, hey, I need a paycheck. I need cash in my pocket. I 100% get that. And so you can have short-term and long-term goals and really understanding what those are. But give yourself permission to really think big. What is your dream job? What does that look like to you?
Yeah.
And then we start to break that down of why, and then assessing your strengths. What are you bringing to the table that makes you unique, that makes you stand out from others? And how can we apply this to the jobs that are out there in the market right now? What does that look like? And so maybe, quote unquote, the dream job, it's something that's on down the road. Maybe it's not the most immediate, but what can we do to help you build towards that? So I look at it as a roadmap. I always give the example of my dad, God bless him. He loved a good atlas and a good map. Nobody uses maps anymore. And so when I traveled from, you know, Missouri, or back from Maryland to Missouri one Christmas, my dad's like, make sure you have the atlas in the car. And I'm like, okay, Dad. He was always about the atlas, having it in the car. It's a roadmap. It's a roadmap of where are you at now? Where do you want to go? And then how are we going to get there? And creating tangible action steps that I believe are realistic, but also push you out of that comfort zone. And so that to me is what, if you're entering this place of, I don't know what I want to do, or I need to take a stock of where I'm at with my career, that is where the first place is what does that look like to you? Because oftentimes people apply for jobs but don't do the first part of the assessment, and then they end up in the exact same situation and they go, well, I still don't like my job. I wonder why. Well, we didn't do the work on the front end. So we got to take a 3 steps back. You know, I had a client that was pushing me, like, I'm ready to apply. And I'm like, we got to do the work first. I'm like, right. We got to do the work. Just trust me. We got to dig deep. So that's where I start with clients and how I think you need to take the assessment of where you're at and where do you want to go.
You know, I love about this conversation because we learn as we go, right? We learn as we go. You know, I always ask the question, and so does Jessica and Linda, you know, how well do you do with feedback? And everybody's going to say, I do pretty much great. And we realize we can't ask that question. We actually have to give them feedback during the interview and find out how they react to it. Because if you're working here or any part of here, right, Ellen?
Yes.
And you're a producer, or you're Kim, or you're Linda, or you're Jessica, and one of our hosts or co-hosts call up and say, I really wish you would have edited this video a little bit better, or I don't like my lower thirds. Boy, you have to be loving that feedback here, because every day is that. But here's what's kind of fun about what you both are saying. You're going to laugh. I got an email asking if myself and Dr. Cherry Granrose would resurrect our publications that we did, I don't even know what the year was, 8 or 9, on the relationship with what they called a very weird term. I think this is why it didn't take off in business. It's just weird. Protean careers, P-R-O-T-E-A-N career. It was a thing. And it's defined as people that want individual freedom, they want self-growth, they want to define their own career success, and in terms of psychological factors, like job satisfaction, self-actualization. So we did the first research on this, talking about this type of person and their relationship to what academia has a big fancy name called psychological contract violation, basically to broken promises. How many times can you break promises to your staff before they leave? And we did this body of research. My dissertation is between two people. And they wanted us to resurrect this. I just got this request. And they wanted me to And I just thought, I don't think I want to. I think that it was so emotional for us to talk about what was going on between trust and people back then with downsizing and all of that. And I just wonder now, as I listen to you talk, if we don't need to go back to some of those basics, if we don't need to really be finding out from people what they value. You know, are you going to be able to work in an environment, although the work is great, but you have a micromanager boss? I mean, what's going to be the impact for you?
I think also, I think you're absolutely right. And I think when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about exactly what steps we should be taking in moving forward. And what Melanie said, what we have to assess. And part of what we have to assess are the kinds of things that Dr. Pat was talking about in how we psychologically want to adjust to our new job.
Yeah, and
I
would like Melanie to also talk about one of the myths, and that is the great resignation is all about white-collar burnout. I hope we can talk about that thing.
Okay.
Definitely, we can definitely hear that.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle. Yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
Boy, does this feel like good times today. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love it. This is a show that's going to invite all of you to open up your heart because it's about dreams coming true. There's a road we get to take as we craft out and we lay a course that's in service of so many others. Sometimes the universe, God, whatever you believe in, have you ever wondered why, but better than why, or how the universe knows how to line things up in a way that gets you ready for the most expansive part of who you're going to become? This is the time to change. And gratitude, leading with love, opens up more expansive possibilities than you can imagine. Trust, busting your way to an awesome life. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and yes, our office is open, and we are doing strictly phone consultations. If you would like to call and get tuned up, it's perfect time with everything that's going on and things are calming down. Pick up the phone and give us a call. It's quick and easy and it's fun. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Ha ha.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is the Pushy Broad from the Bronx. I'm here with Dr. Pat. You're on my show, Recovery Recharged, and we are talking about something that directly affects recovery, and that is finding and holding down a job that we love, because that's really important to keep us healthy and in recovery and feeling good about ourselves. So how do we do that in 2022? We've been talking to Melanie Wexler, who is a career coach who's been doing this for 17 years, and Dr. Pat put some really interesting questions to her, like, what are some of the things that we should know before leaving for a new job? So give us some ideas, Melanie.
Yeah, and Melanie, also let people know how they can get a hold of you if you don't mind, whether it's a website or a phone number or whatever you got going on.
Oh, definitely. So one of the things in terms of if you're thinking about leaving your job right now, and one of the things that you can easily start to do, and even if you are in the job search and you're, you know, you're actively looking, is take some time, and it sounds kind of silly, but just a simple, like, kind of that positive and negative, why? If you're considering leaving your company, why would you stay? Why do you want to go? And that's a good indication. You can also look at that list and say, is there things that I could address with my employer that maybe would solve some of those on the why I want to leave? Or, you know, is it worth staying for the things that you wrote down? Also being very clear about what your must-haves are. And again, these don't necessarily have to be about salary or benefits or title or things of that nature. It can be about work hours. It can, you know, remote, hybrid, whatever that may look like. You can even get into, you know, the company values and mission. Is what you're doing, is it even motivating you? Do you get excited about going into work? Really understanding what your must-haves are before you jump into the search. And if you're in a search right now, I would say take a pause and then start to develop this list. It's like, here's the core of what I really have to be, you know, what I feel like is going to make me happy in my next job. Here's some things that I'd like to have, but I'm willing to negotiate. And then the icing on the cake, if they gave me all of this, I would, you know, be the happiest person in the world. So that's where I would definitely start. And then, you know, one of the other things we were talking about too is there's a lot of people in this great resignation that are looking to transfer into different types of careers. They're pivoting their careers, and you find, and all of a sudden, you know, you're left wondering, what skills do I need? How do I, you know, am I even adaptable to this? You have people that are looking to get back into the workforce that maybe have been out of work for a period of time. Sit down and look at those job descriptions. And I, you know, I'm an old school recruiter. I'm like, print it off, have the piece of paper, and then take a highlighter. Go through and look at what these jobs are asking for. And then ask yourself, what are the skills that transfer that you have? Right now, we are starting to open a book in terms of a new chapter and what's happening. So now is the time to really be able to sell yourself and embrace yourself with those transferable skills. And being able to getting back into the workforce is going to be more important now than ever. And you really have the opportunity to tell your story. The one thing that I am really big on is mindset. I was at a very low point in my career back in 2017 before I became coaching full time. I was still in the workforce. I was struggling with a lot of different issues that were happening in my personal life. My mindset was crushed. And I will tell you that this is the foundation for which you have to continue to build yourself up every single day. You have to think in a positive way that what you're going to go do is you're going to go control this job search the best you possibly can. And even if you don't necessarily feel it, every single day you tell yourself, that is my job. That is my job. I did that when I was building my business. I literally, every single client I would get, I would be like, that's my next client. That's my next client. And as silly and stupid as that may sound, it really does work, because then you train your brain to think in that manner. And so when you start putting in those positive words and those positive encouragement, even if you don't have anybody else cheering you on, that's going to change the course of your job search. And so I'm a really big believer in that. One thing you can do, you can connect with me on my website, which is findsucceedachieve.com. And when you log, when it pops up, I'm such not a technical person, but when it pops up, you can put your email in there and you'll get a free downloadable career journal. It's already set out. And this is something I set up because I do believe it's one of the first steps is really taking assessments again of where you're at. What do you envision your life to be? And what would that paint that picture for yourself? And really put those words down to paper, because I think nowadays when you do that, it makes you really open yourself up and go, wow, this is what I really want. Okay, let's now then figure out how we can get there. And, you know, and that starts with understanding what's happening in the job market, doing some research. I know that people don't talk about that. You know, people talk about applying for jobs, but a lot of this now goes back to, you know, should I need to research the company and see what kind of employee benefits that they provide? Do they provide, counseling and other services that I could potentially utilize that I know I'm going to need? You know, things of that nature may be important to you and your family. So really doing the research on these companies, having a list of companies you want to work for, have your top 10 list. And look for those companies. Find out why do you want to work for them, you know, and then do that research on the front end. And I suggest this is part of the job search process. So sometimes my clients are like, we haven't talked about applying for jobs. I'm like, well, we're going to, but I would rather see you apply for less. I know this is going to sound counterproductive, because in life we're told the more you do something, the better you're going to get at it. It's the complete opposite when it comes to job searching. I would rather you apply for one job a week as opposed to 10, because that one job is the one that you're going to go after. You're going to look for those hiring managers. I'm a big LinkedIn user, so on LinkedIn, you're going to start doing the research. You're going to take the time to really start networking and develop relationships. And so I'd rather you invest your time for that one job you really want as opposed to the other nine that you're already like, yeah, it's okay if I got the interview, but I'm not so excited about it. And you're going to see your time pay off for that.
Well, first of all, if you want to get to Melanie, like she said, the website is Find, Succeed, Achieve. And those are three very powerful words, findsucceedachieve.com. And if you do that, she has a free career journal, as she mentioned, which is fantastic for you to get started. So what do you think about what she said, Dr. Pat?
What I think about what she said is that she is on the leading edge of being able to close the gap between the illusion that organizations have of what people want and the reality of what they want. And I was telling you during the break, someone had asked if Dr. Cherry Granrose and I would resurrect the research we did, and we did hard research. This is empirical stuff with anecdotal data. Like, this is counting numbers, right? And it stemmed off of my research on broken promises. But here's where we are. If you take a look at what this research says, even when we did it, there was a handful of people looking at it. Now it's accelerating. Here's what they say, and I think this is a key. This level of what they call a protean career concept, I believe in self-direction in my career. I believe in self-ethics. That. Right? That is okay, and people will stay, even if that's not getting met, if there are other conflicting things they want. But what happened in these past 2 years? Here it is. What happened? We're treated in the strangest of ways. Now, I'm not saying that's every company. I'm not. And we could laugh about the commercials at the guy that doesn't have his pants on. We could do that. But here's what I mean by it, and here's what we're starting to see now. When you look at what people were willing to do to continue to help the organization and what they had to ask for to do it, Johnny, Mary, and Joey is over here fighting with the dog. Yes, you're going to have to live with that because you want me on this meeting because we're developing something really cool. But what's happening now, Melanie, is these exchanges, this psychological contract are, you're going to do this for me, even if you don't say it, I believe you're going to do it, and then you either do it or you don't do it. If you don't do it, and you look at the consequences that we studied between two people, a boss and employee, and you don't do it, everything is affected, including mental health. And what we're seeing now, nobody's talking about. You see, it's one thing to say, come on, man, come on back to work. Come on back. And then you go back to the old way. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't do that. No, you can't work from home. Yeah. This is not going to work. Or, by the way, like the hotel in Detroit, 40-plus people, did not, all of them, none of them came back because they had to come back at the same rate. You see, thank goodness that that hotel over there in Detroit had found something out and increased their wages. But we better figure this out if we want to be a country here that produces the best, rewards great achievement, and is going to take the world by storm in our economic future.
Yeah.
And also that's it. That's all I want to say. That's that's my spiel. And I'm actually, now that you did this interview, I'm actually reconsidering calling Cherry and saying we should go back into the data set and republish this now that you're saying. Because the reason people are quitting is exactly like this research says. It was way ahead of its time.
I was going to say, I really feel like that was so way ahead of its time and how it plays into what I'm seeing and hearing every single day, talking to clients, interacting with people through LinkedIn, hearing from people's stories. What, as I mentioned earlier, COVID was a catalyst, but what we saw happen in the world was we had discrimination issues come to light. And what we also saw was women in particular taking the greatest sacrifice in terms of pay cuts and having to leave the market because we eradicated daycare all of a sudden and we didn't have resources for families. And that's that, in my opinion, is one of still the hugest gaps that we have not addressed when it comes to corporate America. We still have not addressed that gap for proper daycare and costs for daycare. But we also had healthcare issues come to the forefront. People are still suffering from the pandemic. People are still having ramifications from having COVID. I'm still hearing this. We either had, all these health issues. So we had mental health, discrimination, and racial issues coming to the stem, plus in health. I mean, we literally, in economic issues, we had everything happen. And so if companies don't choose to wake up, this is not just, hey, part of what happened with the pandemic. This will be our country's, this is the lineup for our country for the future. And the younger generation is saying, no, I want companies that are aligned with my values. They're pushing this. And now, and my generation is, right there smack dab in the middle. We've got a good 20 some odd years, probably a little bit longer to retire. And so we're saying, wait a minute, I don't want to work like this. I know I don't personally want to work like I was for 20 years of my career for not being, recognized and appreciated for who I was and for what I brought to the table.
I think that everybody 20 years ago and even 30 years ago was hoping that over time we would be working more and more from home and we would have that work-home balance. So now it's ironic that when you're forced to do it, all of a sudden there's a backlash of that, okay? And I think that's what people do. Some people are just oppositionally defiant. Okay, you tell me I can, so now I don't want to. I just know that what I do as a recovery coach has tripled during COVID, not only because of what's going on out there, but because people are getting used to the fact that the communication we have virtually is just as important and just as meaningful as my talking to that person face to face. Okay, it's not like 30 years ago where you only had the telephone to look at, okay? I can see two beautiful faces right in front of me and realize that I'm making just as much of an impact to you as I would be as if you were sitting in the room with me. And I think that's the way it is of business today. It doesn't matter if you put me in an office for 8 hours. I'm going to get just as much done in that office for 8 hours. In fact, maybe more done in my house when I don't have to make sure that I've punched a clock in and I've punched a clock out.
Yeah.
And that's what makes us free to do what we need to do. And if somebody is happy because they're not worried about the stress of where they have to be, work improves completely. So I was asked a question about a week ago. What question should I ask my employer? And I love, I hope you come back. When these people emailed me, they found a, what do you call it, a reference in an article from 2017, and they pulled it out. Now, to be honest with you, I do not look at, who looks at my research? I'm not a researcher. I chose not to be a professor. But this particular line got my attention. And can I read it to you? It's just one sentence. It's like goes on and it says a research review. And it says this. It's very simple. It's a very simple thing. Grand Rose and Basile, 2006, when we published it, found that the violations of the protein career, kind of what we're talking about, protein career, psychological contract, meaning if you mess with violating my protein career value system, right, that they were linked to higher instances of leaving. Hello. Hello.
Exactly.
That's where they want
me
to pull the research up. But if you don't get this, if you don't understand what this means, that is a research sentence. Basically, did you do what you said you were going to do during the pandemic when I was killing myself working from home and doing meetings to China 3 in the morning? Did you do what you said? Did you say that you would help us come back to work in a way that was going to help me integrate my life? Did you do that? No. And so there, like that's, okay, you lied to me. Fancy language. Psychological contract violation. You lied to me. That's what
I'm saying. Exactly. Rick Manning is right. No. So here we are. So we've got about 8 minutes left, but I want you to be cognizant of this, and I want you to give us some messages going forward in 2022. Give us your forecast. What jobs are going to be in high demand? Where should we be looking? How do we build relationships? Give us the forecast for the year. Let us know.
So my assessment of, we saw the numbers come out in January that numbers, it's still an employees market. I really fully expect we're going to see that all the way through first quarter, probably the beginning of second quarter. I think maybe by the middle of the second quarter, we'll probably start to see some things level off, but it's still going to be very high. Unemployment is still going to continue to drop, which means that the market is still going to be very competitive, and therefore it's still going to be an employee's market. I mentioned it earlier. Oh, go ahead, Ellen.
What industries? Talk specific. Where should we go?
Specific, I think you're obviously healthcare is still going to be a huge area that we're going to need all levels of healthcare, all types of positions within hospitals, all levels of experience. So there's a lot of opportunities for people from, maintenance and housekeeping all the way through the technical, radiology. All these positions are in dire need right now in the healthcare industry. So the market is open for all levels of professionals. Okay. Then also we're seeing a boom again within the technology field. We're seeing a second wave of the tech boom happening. And they're leading the way with work from home options. So that's one of the reasons their companies are striving. So, and again, probably some more, that's more mid-level to higher level experience, but really definitely going to see that. And then I think we're going to see an increase a resurgence of hospitality. That's going to be the field. But I will tell you, the key with the hospitality and the restaurant market is going to be wages. It is going to be, are you willing to pay? And the reality is, I think as consumers, we want to be able to go out to restaurants and be able to enjoy our, those moments. So we'll pay it. We will pay it. We may not like it, but we'll pay it. And so I think once they kind of settle some of those, wage issues that we're seeing happening right now, that you're going to see that resurgence come back again, because we kind of realized what we lost when we didn't acknowledge those people that are delivering our food or making our food behind the scenes or, in the hotels, serving us, and not really realizing the impact that not having those workers, what it has done to our economy and to our society. So those are three areas that I think you can definitely see some immediate, you know, you're going to see a lot of opportunities for.
And that's certainly all over the world. So you mentioned before that some of the places you like to investigate are like LinkedIn and a couple of other places. Give us some concrete places. Are there some job sites that you prefer? Or how do people get started? I know you said your career journal, again, they should go to your website, which is what, findsucceedachieve.com for Melanie, and then maybe book a session or two or three or four with you, because that would be great. You can certainly use a career coach like Melanie for sure. But give us some concrete ideas of how we should build relationships and what seeds we should be planting right now.
So right now, you know, I'm a huge advocate of LinkedIn. It is a cornerstone of what I do, because I, with all of my clients, so I'm a big advocate of that. I'll come back to LinkedIn, but I'll say, you know, utilize job boards such as Indeed. Indeed's pretty exhaustive with a lot of options, and I do like how its platform is particularly set up, so it does make it fairly, you know, amenable. But also, I think with LinkedIn, really find, again, we go back to those companies. It's a great place to go do some research on. You know, it's a social media platform. It's disguised as social media, but it's heart and soul, it's just a big search engine. So, you know, so that to me is where you really should start, because everything there is at your fingertips. You can connect with people all over the world, and people that maybe you've forgotten about, and reconnect, let them know what's happening in your world, what you're looking for. Have your network. Start networking. Don't be afraid to network and reach out and introduce yourself to people, because that's honestly, too, what employees are looking for. If you say you're a go-getter and you can be a go-getter, show them that you are. And so it's as simple as a click of a button on LinkedIn. You can do everything on that platform. So.
Fantastic. So do us a favor also, spend just a little bit of time and tell us the kind of services you provide as a career coach, what you do.
So I do a little soup and nuts of everything, just because that was my career. So I work with individuals from helping them with their resumes to helping them craft their LinkedIn profiles so that they are prepared job searchers. I go into job search strategies with them, how to navigate the market. I use all of my resources as having been a former recruiter and shedding light on what happens behind the scenes. I work with individuals on how to properly network, as well as interviewing and preparing them for interviews and getting their confidence and mindset really set and strong so that they believe in themselves and that they go into that interview, you know, really with the control of that interview and really being able to tell their story so that it's understood and it's, you know, it gives them the spotlight of why they're so unique and why they should be hired.
I love it. One last thing, too, that I know you work with people on. All of these references I made seem one-sided, meaning if the company doesn't do this, if your manager doesn't do this, I want to just be clear. If y'all will listen to this now and you're looking for a job, it's also when you as an employee violate or break a promise. This is a theory that I got to study with Peter Drucker. He hated us. He could not stand the PhD students. But I got to sit in his class because I told him I was a business person. But what you're doing now is going to help people be unique and extraordinary in the job search that their heart is calling them for. I was homeless. I know when you need a job, you got to get a job. Right?
Yep.
That's right. And there are jobs out there. That's right.
Thank you for today.
And Melanie, thank you so much, career coach, and we're all very appreciative. Go to findsucceedachieve.com. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, one last thing, let me say this, because I got a text message from somebody. No, do not tell the people you're interviewing with that you got burned out on your last job. Right?
You've been listening to Recovery Recharged with Certified Life and Recovery Coach Ellen Stewart, Cushy Broad from the Bronx. Don't miss your next opportunity to let me help you recharge your recovery, let go of your secrets,